live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a support package has been approved for Drogheda Conall Shaw to establish a distillery business and visitor centre in Crawley. The chair of Donegal Action for Cancer Care has welcomed a motion addressing the misuse of disabled parking bays that's due before Donegal County Council on Monday. The Bishop of Brefaux says he is disappointed Pope Francis will not visit Northern Ireland during his visit to Dublin in August. And HICWA has found that three centres for people with disabilities in Donegal didn't have evidence of Garda vetting for all staff. Those stories you follow on Phil Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up at about 5:15 with Kenny Harkin. But first in news, there have been reports of an arrest made in the Stranorla area today. Gardaí have confirmed a cross-border operation between the Gardaí and the PSNI is ongoing. No further details are currently known. The Bishop of Brefaux says he is disappointed that Pope Francis will not cross the border into Northern Ireland when he comes to Dublin in August for the World Meeting of Families. Bishop Al McGuckian says he had hoped such a visit would happen, but accepts that during a two-day visit coinciding with a major event, the scope for a cross-border trip simply isn't there. He was speaking on this morning's 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
I'm delighted that the Pope is coming. I'm disappointed that it looks like he may not visit the North, which I believed and still believe was a hugely important opportunity.
Are you putting that down to the fact that it's a two-day visit?
I am. Yeah. That's my fear. When people were thinking about a visit to the North, I think we were thinking in terms of maybe a Friday to Monday, and an 82-year-old man can't be jumping around all over Ireland in 2 days.
In your opinion, Bishop, would that be down to time, logistics, other commitments elsewhere, or maybe the timing wasn't right, or can you draw any conclusions?
Honestly, I can't. My heart was so set on it. Mm. It seemed so obvious that a second Pope should not come to Ireland and fail to visit the North, where there is this great wound, the big wound in Ireland. And it seemed like the obvious place for Francis to go.
HICWA has found that three centres for people with disabilities in Donegal didn't have evidence of Garda vetting for all staff. The three centres in question are Drumbow Respite Centre in Stranorla, Riverwalk House in Carndonagh, Kilavine Group Home and Ballydevitt Group Home. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Staffing arrangements at Drumbow Respite Centre ensure that residents' needs were met, although staff records did not contain all information required under Schedule 2 of the regulations. The previous inspection found that not all documents required were present in staff personnel files, such as full employment histories and copies of Garda vetting disclosures. The inspector examined staff records and found that although full employment histories were now in place, copies of staff members' Garda vetting disclosures were still not available in all staff files sampled. This area of major non-compliance was also reflected in Riverwalk House in Carndonagh, where the inspector reviewed staff files and found that staff records did not contain copies of Garda vetting disclosures as required under the regulations. Meanwhile, some improvements were still required at Kilavine Group Home in the same area. The inspector also reviewed a sample of staff files there, which identified gaps in maintenance of appropriate Garda vetting records.
The new Cock Hill Bridge will be open to public traffic in both directions this evening to accommodate completion of the adjoining link roads. Initial Municipal District Cahirla Jack Murray has paid tribute to the council engineers and staff who have worked on the bridge and brought the project in on time. He says today is a significant day.
It's a very, very significant day in the construction of the campaign to get the Cock Hill Bridge to where it's at. Two-way traffic is open from this evening on the Cock Hill Bridge. There'll be traffic management system in place and signpost directing traffic where to go, but it's a huge day and on a long rolling saga.
We aren't finished yet. There is other work to be done on the bridge and in the surrounding area, but as you say, certainly we're at the point we will see if bridge quality that the people of that area have been seeking literally for decades.
Yeah, literally, and this campaign's been going on over 40 years, and I think it's would be remiss not to again commend all the community activists, all the people who campaigned over all that long period, particularly in recent years, who brought this of this bridge, brought the funding to Buncrana. It's a hugely, hugely important and a significant piece of infrastructure in Buncrana, and the whole of Inishona widened up, allowed HGVs to move freely from north to south Inishona. It's hugely significant, and in the next number of weeks we'll have the final finishing touches built to the bridge. The approach roads will be completed, the footpath will be completed, and a fine piece of infrastructure in Inishona will be fully opened and fully functional.
A support package has been approved for Drogheda Tráchtála Chaw to establish a distillery business and visitor centre in Crawley. It's estimated that up to 12 new jobs will be created over the next 5 years, with a support package of over €121,000 from Uttaris na Gaeltachta and a total investment of over €271,000. The proposed distillery and visitor centre will be located in the famous Crawley factory, subject to planning permission. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says it will be a huge boost for the local community.
Well, it'll be located in the famous Crawley Doll factory in Crawley on the Wild Atlantic Way on the N56. Over 1 million will be expended to upgrade and refurbish the plant to leave it ready for lease to the promoters of the whisky distillery. In addition to the distillery, there will be a visitor centre there, and of course it will take 3 years of a lead-in, but 12 jobs will be provided there over the course of the next 3 to 5 years, and I believe it is tremendous news for the West.
Because it will no doubt bring a lot more tourists to the area than has been seen there.
Well, this is very innovative for West Donegal, and of course the centre together with the distillery itself will be a big attraction, and I believe that it will be in this rural area creating employment. It provides jobs which are all important for an area where the rate of unemployment is the highest in the country.
Permanent TSB says it takes an average of 32 attempts to get in contact with mortgage holders in long-term arrears. Management at the bank have been appearing before the Oireachtas Finance Committee about the proposed sale of almost 18,000 loans. Sean Defoe has more.
Permanent TSB plans to sell off a large loan book, with fears many people could see their mortgages end up in the hands of vulture funds. Bank boss Jeremy Masding says it's necessary.
It's important to say we're not the first bank to do such a sale, and we certainly won't be the last. And whilst our plans have provoked commentary, the fact is that the sale of NPLs to third parties in what is known as the secondary market is a characteristic of a functioning mortgage market.
Shane O'Sullivan, PTSB's Group Director of Operations, says that many of those in long-term arrears have been difficult to deal with.
On average, it takes us 32 attempts for a customer to speak to us in this category about their mortgage.
While Committee Chairman John McGuinness questioned why the discounts being passed on to vultures when the loans are sold can't be given to customers instead.
I'd say Pontius Pilate is even cringing listening to you. You're the ones that caused the contamination and the disease in the first place.
The bank has said the loan sale is still in the early stages of preparation.
The government has been criticised over stringent planning regulations in rural Ireland. It follows concerns raised by various people across Donegal who wish to build a house close to their homestead but are not permitted to do so because regulations are too restrictive. This has led to further fears over depopulation in rural parts of the county, with trends showing more people are moving to bigger towns like Letterkenny. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell says there are many people who wish to live in rural Donegal but are prevented from doing so. He says some alliances should be made.
I'm not saying that everybody that wants to live in rural Ireland should be permitted, but what I would be saying and very strongly advocating and fighting for is that if somebody lives in a rural townland, has been brought up in a rural townland, has land in that rural townland, well then they deserve to live in that rural townland. If somebody arrives from Dublin or arrives from another part of the county or country and wishes to build in a rural townland, they should be told, you know what, maybe your links aren't strong enough to allow you to build in that townland. But for people who actually live, reside, work, and everything that they have done all through their lives has been in a rural townland, they should have the option to build there. I'm not saying that it should be a carte blanche situation, that everybody should be allowed wherever they want. But we can't have a situation either that everybody's going to be pushed and pressed into towns and villages and cities. And that is what the government want. We see the massive exodus of people from the west coast to the east coast of our country. And we equally see it in Donegal, whereby the population trends are moving towards the bigger towns and villages such as Letterkenny. Places in the west of the county are suffering. So what needs to happen is that there needs to be a little bit more of an allowance. Where there may be communities suffering, the council and indeed the government need to make an allowance that if people want to live in those areas, they should be allowed to live in those areas.
Letterkenny Institute of Technology has been given the green light to apply for university status. The Technological Universities Act 2018 was signed into law by President Michael D. Higgins on Monday last, which will unite various institutes of technology into four technological universities. LYIT will form part of the Connacht Ulster Alliance alongside the Galway Mayo Institute of Technology and the Institute of Technology Sligo. The key aim of the radical reform of the status of LYIT is to drive regional development and improve job creation for the Northwest region. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh says it is a welcome announcement, building on the designation of Letterkenny, Derry and Strabane as a city region and the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding in recent weeks.
It also now builds on a very, very significant piece of good news in the last few weeks. That's the new Memorandum of Understanding between LYIT and VTB and our colleagues across the border in Ulster universities. In essence, LYIT Letterkenny has been operating as a university as such, but now it has the name. It gives it the name to give it extra power in terms of sourcing funding, be it research studies or one thing and another, but it gives it that due recognition over the years, over the decades, where it's been producing very, very high calibre students and providing the industrial foothold in the financial services sector right in our own county, where there's up to 3,000 people employed in our county at the moment, and a lot of them would have come from LYIT. It's a good news story building on the city region status now that we have under the National Development Plan. There's a strategic alliance now for colleagues across the border in Ulster University. And if you look at the likes of Galway and the likes of Limerick and Cork down the years, their university status in those regions was a direct contributor to commercial interest and investment in the industrial sector coming into those cities. And now we have it. We've got city region status with an MOU with Northern Ireland through Ulster University, but now we'll have university status here as well. So this will be certainly very, very good news for the region.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale. Now on a station roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games and Lee Keegan set to miss Mayo's Connacht Championship quarter-final with Galway. The former Footballer of the Year suffered a dislocated shoulder during Mayo's Division 1 defeat to Tyrone last week. It's understood that Killian O'Connor will be fit in time for the May 13th meeting at McHale Park, despite sustaining a hamstring injury last weekend. Mayo, of course, are in action this Sunday when they travel to McCool Park to play against Donegal in the Alliance Football League Division 1, crucial game for both counties. This basically winner stays up. 3 o'clock, so throw-in time on Sunday. We'll have full coverage here on Sunday Sport. Moving on to soccer, in the Republic of Ireland women's under 17 side have lost 2-1 to Iceland in their opening game of the UEFA Women's Under 17 Championship Elite Round in Germany today. Iceland led 1-0 at half time. Their captain scored from the penalty spot midway through the first half after a harsh decision against Tyler Toland. Ireland equalised 5 minutes after the break with striker Emily Whelan finding the back of the net, and Colm Bell's side fell behind with 11 minutes to go to what proved to be the decisive goal. Tyler Toland and Amy Boyle Kerr both played the full game today. The side returned to action on Sunday morning when they play Azerbaijan at 10 o'clock in the morning Irish time. In other news, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has reportedly played his final game for Manchester United, with the Swedish striker set to be released from his deal at Old Trafford. Ibrahimovic has been strongly linked with a move to MLS side LA Galaxy. His deal was due to expire in the summer, and he's just managed 102 minutes of action this season with a knee injury curtailing his availability. In other news, Ryan Giggs' tenure as Welsh manager has gotten off to a perfect start. A Gareth Bale hat-trick helped him to a 6-0 win over China today. Bale is now the Welsh all-time leading goal scorer with 29 goals. And West Ham have banned five of their supporters for life after they invaded the pitch during their Premier League match against Burnley earlier this month. They also say a number of others have been given the same punishment for throwing coins and other objects towards the director's box at the London Stadium. There was a number of protests against the board during the Premier League game, which West Ham lost 3-0. Moving on to the Electricity League, St Pat's have signed Canadian goalkeeper Tyson Farrago. The stopper was most recently with FC Edmonton in their second tier of American football. And Fun Harps, they start a busy period of football tomorrow evening when they play Wexford Youths in Ballybuffet. Over the next 2 weeks, Fun Harps find themselves playing Friday and Monday due to rescheduled fixtures and an EA Cup tie against Derry City. Now, the Fun Park side go into the games without the injured trio of Paddy McCourt, Gareth Harkin and BJ Banda. Harps boss Ollie Horgan says the young players in the squad will be called upon with the big games coming quicker than expected.
We didn't really plan for midweek games in the first division because there weren't any in the original schedule. But because the Drogheda game got refixed, and indeed the Longford game will be refixed, it means we now have midweek games that we hadn't planned for or, if you like, budgeted for. But we've no choice in it. There's young lads that have been training with us. Some of them doing quite well. Some of them need to get back to where they were last year. And they'll get game time on Friday and indeed on Monday and the following weekend. But they need to step up to it. You know, I mentioned the likes of Adam Duffy there, who had trained very well with us and played very well with the Ulster Senior League side with Joe Boyle. I watched him 3 weeks in a row and I thought, yeah, you know, this fella deserves a shot at it. And he took his opportunity last Friday. And if he continues the way he's going, he will get other opportunities.
8 o'clock tomorrow evening is the kickoff time at Fun Park, and you can hear more from Ollie on the sports section of their website, highlandradio.com. Now, just another couple of pieces of news in football. The Football League have given Derby their backing for the postponement of last weekend's championship fixture at home to Cardiff. The midday kickoff was called off by the host at 8:30 on Sunday morning due to surrounding areas being unsafe for supporters. And in Scotland, Cedric Kepay has won his appeal against the sending off during Sunday's Scottish Premiership game with Celtic. The French defender's two-game suspension has been overturned. He was given a straight red card for violent conduct in the 0-0 draw. And back locally, this week's Four Lanterns Ulster Senior League game between Derry City Reserves and Bonagie United has been changed. The game will now take place on Saturday evening, March the 24th at Dry Arch Park with a 7:30 kickoff. Meanwhile, Ulster Senior League has confirmed the kickoff times for the Knockalla Caravans Senior Cup semi-finals. They've been put back to 2 o'clock. The games see Greencastle FC hosting Cockhill Celtic and Glengad there at home to Letterkenny Rovers. The Knockalla Caravans Cup Senior Cup semi-finals are penciled in to be played on Sunday, April the 15th. In rugby, Quinn Roo is back in the Connacht team for tomorrow's Pro 14 match against Edinburgh at the Sports Ground. His fellow Irish internationals Bundy Aki, Kieran Marrimon and Alton Delan are rested after playing their part in the Grand Slam. There's also a return for flanker Owen McKeown, who had been out since November with a calf injury. In golf, Rory McIlroy needs to get back on track today at the WGC Dell Technologies match play this evening. Following yesterday's defeat to Peter Uihlein, McIlroy takes on Colombia's Jonathan Vegas. He's just about to tee off. He was teed off there at 4 minutes past five. In cricket, Ireland's World Cup qualification hopes have been placed back in their own hands. Ireland needed the UAE to defeat Zimbabwe today, and they just did that by only 3 runs in their Super 6 qualifier in Harare. Ireland now need to beat Afghanistan tomorrow to secure a place in the last 10 places at next year's finals. In badminton, the Royal and Prior Minor Girls, they won the All-Ireland Schools Final this week in Meath. The winning team has been made up of Tara Mooney, Abby Glenn, Eleanor Knox, Katie McKinley and Jodie Pearson. So well done to them. And finally, this evening in boxing, Carl Frampton's bout with Nonito Donair in Belfast next month will be for the interim WBO featherweight title. The winner of the April 21st fight will become the mandatory challenger for the current WBO featherweight champion, Oscar Valdez. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And finally in news this evening, the chair of Donegal Action for Cancer Care has welcomed a motion addressing the misuse of disabled parking bays that's due before Donegal County Council on Monday. Councillor Liam Doherty will put forward a motion asking the council to erect adequate signage on disabled parking bays and to highlight fines that will be imposed if drivers park illegally. DACC Chair Betty Holmes has been lobbying local councillors to take the issue further and says it's now vital that measures be implemented as soon as possible.
It was ourselves and Donegal Action for Cancer Care who wrote to all the Donegal County councillors and asked them to actually bring this forward to the council meeting. This is a DACC motion and this is a DACC proposal, and we are delighted that it's on the council agenda. Indeed, we had put quite a lot of work into keeping at the councillors to tell them the importance of this, and it would be very remiss not to actually acknowledge that the Donegal County councillors, all of them, have come back and sort of, a few of them we haven't heard from, but the majority we've heard from and have given their support to this, and it's been discussed at the five district meetings. One of the things that we had specifically asked is that not only would the motion be brought to the council meeting in Lifford, because it is a countywide issue and it would be proposed and seconded, but we also want a time frame agreed for when the signage will be erected, because we don't want to be going back in 6 months or a year's time and saying this never actually happened. And it is crucial and vital that it happens, and it happens in Donegal.
And indeed, as you did say, a time frame is crucial in this, because this is a long-running issue and action does need to be taken as soon as possible.
Without a doubt, for us in DACC, where the issue initially came up is in the context of cancer patients who are going through their treatments. They were saying about the difficulty they were having parking, the access to it. The reality is, for permit holders, and with the fine being increased to €150, we need the mounted signage, we need it clearly displayed, and anybody that parks in it needs to be fined. They don't have a permit. Donegal County Council need to roll one behind this, stating the time frame on Monday.
And for weather now, rain will be persistent this evening and fresh and gusty south to southwest winds. Lowest temperatures tonight of 3 to 5 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, there have been reports of an arrest made in the Stranorder area today. Gardaí have confirmed a cross-border operation with the PSNI is ongoing at the moment. The Bishop of Raphoe says he is disappointed that Pope Francis will not cross the border into Northern Ireland when he comes to Dublin in August for the World Meeting of Families. Bishop Al McGaughian says he had hoped such a visit would happen, but accepts that during a two-day visit coinciding with a major event, the scope for a cross-border trip simply isn't there. HICWA has found that three centres for people with disabilities in Donegal didn't have evidence of Garda vetting for all staff. The three centres in question are Drumbo Respite Centre, Stranorler, Riverwalk House in Carndonagh, Kilavin Group Home and Ballydevitt Group Home. And the new Cockhill Bridge will be open to public traffic in both directions this evening to accommodate completion of the adjoining link roads. In Inishowen Municipal District, Hirla Jack Murray has paid tribute to the council engineers and staff who have worked on the bridge and brought the project in on time. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 22nd of March. The death has taken place of Arthur Fleury, Hillhead, Ardra. His remains will repose at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, tomorrow from 5 o'clock until removal at 6:30 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, arriving at 7:15. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Helen White, Crawley. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there at 10:45 on Saturday morning for funeral mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Chapel, Meanwheel. Burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. House private, please, from 7 o'clock tomorrow evening and before the funeral on Saturday. Rosary tonight at 9. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Stephen O'Donnell and Sons funeral directors. The death has taken place at her residence of Annie Gallagher, the Grove Cottages, Muff. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Muff, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Liam Collins, funeral directors, or any family member. The death has taken place of Emmett Blaine, Lord Glencoke, Mount Charles. His remains will repose at his late residence from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with removal on Saturday morning to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Mount Charles, for 10 o'clock funeral mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Kevin Bell Fund, care of Gallagher funeral directors, or any family member. House private, please, before the funeral on Saturday. The death has taken place of Mary Vance, 13, Maple Road, Ballymagorry. Funeral service in Strabane Presbyterian Church on Saturday afternoon at 1:30, followed by burial in Ernie Cemetery. And the death has occurred of Philomena Phil Dawson, The Paddocks, High Brazel Court, South Circular Road, Dublin 8, formerly of 33 Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at St Julian's Cathedral with Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Funeral and interment afterwards in the family plot at Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Our Lady's Hospice, Harold's Cross, Dublin, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director.